إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله، اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، over a third of the month of Ramadan has passed us. A third of the days of Ramadan, a third of its nights, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just blessed and granted virtue to the month of Ramadan, but blessed and granted virtue to ibadat that are carried out in the month of Ramadan, and blessed and granted virtue to those who He has selected subhanahu wa ta'ala to experience and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan. The month in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would emphasize, gathering his companions together, telling them that its doors of Jannah are open, the doors of Jahannam are closed, the shayateen are chained and locked up, and every night there is a caller who calls, Ya Baghi al-Khayr, or the one who wants to do good, Aqbil, step forward, or the one who wants to do evil, sit or stay back, do not proceed. This month has already seen and tested thus far in this opening 10, 11, 12 days, already seen and tested who from it are the righteous and pious ones, and who from it are wasting their time and throwing away the virtues and the blessing that this month of Allah, the month of Ramadan, it has. Thus the ulama of Islam, they say, the month of Ramadan gives birth to three groups of people that all fast, three groups of people that are all believers, three groups of people that all engage in ibadat, in worship. But the month of Ramadan has these three groups of people. Some of them are doomed, some of them are blessed, and some of them are from the front runners, the most glorious and the most virtuous of people on earth. So ask yourselves, O brothers, O sisters in Islam, as we discuss these three groups of people, which group do you fall under? Which group and which characteristics and etiquettes have you adopted in the month of Ramadan that define you to fall under a particular type of group? Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali and Imam Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahimahullah ta'ala, they discuss these groups for the one who fasts. And they say the first group is the one that sees Ramadan. He fasts Ramadan, but he sees the month as another month in the calendar, except that he's obliged to fast. So this person, he treats Ramadan as a traditional, habitual, customary month. His heart is not attached to the essence of fasting, and he lives in this month fasting. Yes, he does, but that is all he does. Fasting he does in the day. He may perform small or few raka'at in the evening. There may be some actions of ibadat that he adopts in the month of Ramadan, but he is defined by one characteristic. He is defined by one tradition, one etiquette, and that is, he hasn't left his sins. He hasn't left his sins, whether they be sins where he directly takes the rights of Allah. So he continues to backbite, he continues to slander, he continues to commit other forms of haram, looking upon haram images, he continues to drink haram in the evening, he continues to commit all types of haram, or he commits haram by throwing away his time. He commits haram by not understanding the importance of worship in the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, he says, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ whoever does not leave Qawl al-Zur. And Qawl al-Zur, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he mentions, is al-Kadhib, is speaking tales, lies, backbiting, slandering, namima, all types of evil you can think of your tongue. In this hadith, Qawl al-Zur means all of these types of haram that you can commit with your tongue, using foul language, cursing and mocking, insulting. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man lam yada' qawl al-zur, whoever does not leave these types of evil of his tongue, wal amala bihi, an action that are also haram. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, all of the actions you can possibly think of that a person does of his body. So he sins by striking others. He sins by drinking alcohol. He sins by committing zina. He sins by any of the actions of the body. And then he says, wal jahl. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions on Ibn Abbas aydan, and also on Ibn Abbas also, where Ibn Abbas defines al-jahl as, again, all types of sins, a branch, the trunk of sin, whereby a person can think about sinning, act upon sinning, speak about sinning, all types of sins, whoever does not leave sins, he is saying essentially. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Allah does not need for him to leave his drink. Allah does not need for him to leave his food. Allah does not need the fast from him at all. He does not need the fast from him at all. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, he explains, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ حَذُّهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ الْجُوعِ وَالْعَتَشِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ حَذُّهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ السَّهَرِ. It's possible that the one who fasts, the only thing he achieves is hunger and thirst. And it's possible for the one who stands, the only thing he achieves is becoming tired through standing. This first group of people, oh brothers, oh sisters in Islam, Ibn al-Qayyim is not speaking about the disbeliever, nor is he speaking about the munafiqeen, nor is he speaking about those who don't fast. He's speaking about people like me and you, Muslims, believers in Allah Jalla wa'ala, those who fast. But those who fast and continue to sin. Those who fast and continue to sin. They haven't heard, nor have they acted upon the call of the caller every single night. Ya baghi al-khayr, aqbil. Or the one who wants to do good, step forward. Ya baghi al-shar, aqsir. Or the one who wants to do evil, stay back. No, they continue to sin. In the days of Ramadan, in the nights of Ramadan, not understanding, not appreciating or acknowledging the fact that Ramadan is special, is virtuous, it multiplies good deeds and it multiplies evil deeds. The one that sins in Ramadan, his sin is not like the sins outside of the month of Ramadan. The one that sins in Ramadan, even in his days or his nights, his sins are multiplied by Allah Jalla wa'ala. His sins were way more heavy on the scale of the Day of Judgment. In fact, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, how evil is the servant of Allah that he doesn't need a caller, he doesn't need a shaitan to call him to sin. How evil is the servant of Allah that sins in Ramadan, that he doesn't need the shayateen to call him, for the shayateen are chained and locked up. The shayateen are chained and they're locked up. That shows that natural inclination of a person has become corrupted to such an extent that sins become secondary. Sins become a second nature to him. He doesn't see sins as sins. He sees sins as normal cultural actions. Or brothers or sisters in Islam, that take from the day of Ramadan, or that take from the night of Ramadan and use it to sin, and use it to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use it to take the rights of Allah Jalla wa'ala. Allah Jalla wa'ala is not need of your fasts. He is not need of your qiyam. And the only thing you are achieving in the days of Ramadan is hunger and thirst. And the only thing you are achieving in the nights of Ramadan is pain in your feet and standing for long hours. Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, even though he is from Ahlul Suffa, those who used to live in the masjid, in the month of Ramadan, he would never leave the masjid. Even during the day, he would stay in the masjid at all hours. And when he was asked, why do you do this, Abu Hurairah? And he would say, radiyallahu anhu, he said, I am protecting my fast. I am protecting my fast from corruption. Understanding that the reward of the fast, understanding that the reward of the fast is corrupted, is erased. A person loses the reward by continuing to sin in the month of Ramadan. Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala, used to say, fasting, ليس الصيام من الشراب والطعام. Fasting is not just eating, or fasting is not just staying away from eating or from drinking. ولكن he says, fasting is staying away from lying, and staying away from ghibah, and staying away from doing haram actions. Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu ta'ala, he used to say, when I fast with my tongue, I fast with my eyes, I fast with my ears, I fast from every single action that I can possibly think of haram. Because this is the essence, this is the true level of fasting. And then we have, our brothers or sisters in Islam, the second category of people. The second category of people are those, again, who fast in the month of Ramadan. But they're slightly better, and slightly noble, and slightly more closer towards Allah Jalla wa Ala than the first group of people. They are those that fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, they stop and they prevent themselves from sinning. Preventing themselves from sinning in the day, and preventing themselves from sinning in the night. They are the people to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he describes by saying whenever a sin is approaching them, whenever they become agitated or irritated, and they are about to commit sin, they respond by saying, "Ana sa'im, I am the one who is fasting." "Ana sa'im, I am the one who is fasting." They are the ones who understand that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he referred to Ramadan, he referred to fasting as a junnah. Fasting as a shield. A shield that protects oneself from sinning. A shield that protects oneself from sinning. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "As-siyamu junnah min an-nar, ka junnati ahadikum min al-qital." The siyam is a shield that protects you from the fire. Just like how a shield protects you from being killed in battle. Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, rahimallahu ta'ala, the shield of the fast is a shield whereby the servant of Allah holds, and he takes it as a barrier, he takes it as a guard for all types of sins, all types of illusions, all types of distractions of the world. Anything that comes towards his direction, he places the siyam, he places the fast in between him and in between the sins. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, for the one who fasts and he leaves his shahwa, he leaves his desires, he leaves his sins, he is the one that is coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and finding the meaning of taqwa in the siyam. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. Or you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, as it was prescribed for the nation that came before you, so that you may attain taqwa. And taqwa is to make a shield in between oneself and the fire on the day of judgment. Just like how you're taking the siyam and making a shield between yourself and all types of sins that the shaitan will bring towards your direction. So this group of people, or brothers, or sisters in Islam, are we from them or are we not from them? Do we hope to be from them? Or do we not hope to be from them? How has your first 10, 11, 12 days of Ramadan been? Are you defined as somebody that has taken the characteristics of fasting and sinning? Or someone that is fasting and using the fast at the same time to dispel and fight against the shaitan? Ensuring that you've left behind not just your food, left behind not just your water, but you left behind your sins that you committed before the month of Ramadan. We'll take inshallah ta'ala the third group of people in the next part of the khutbah. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم وليس المسلمين فاستغفروا إن الله غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. We spoke about the first two categories of people in the month of Ramadan. And we said how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of the fasts or the one that fasts in the month of Ramadan. And then he continues to sin, taking from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We then spoke about a group of people that are more beloved to Allah jalla wa ala. Those that fast in the month of Ramadan. And they use their fast to fight against the shaitan. They use their fast to fight against their desires. They use their fasts to fight against their soul that has been corrupted due to the sin that they've committed before the month of Ramadan. That yes, they're still enticed by sin, but they're able to withhold and withstand the temptation of the shaitan. The third group of people, or brothers or sisters in Islam, are the greatest group of people that experience the month of Ramadan. They are from the sabiqoon, al-awwaloon. They're from the front runners, the first of the people to enter paradise. They are those who don't just understand the reason or the meaning of the fast, but they have completely adopted it, embedded themselves in the purpose and the essence of fasting in its entirety. And who are these group of people? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala says, the third group of people are those that fast the month of Ramadan. Those that withhold themselves from falling into sin. And those that understand the essence of fasting. And that is to purify their inner dimensions, their inner hearts and their souls. And thus, the act by that, by completing noble acts of worship. They're the ones that use the month of Ramadan to purify their hearts by fulfilling great, magnificent acts of worship. These are people that complete the recitation of the Quran. These are people that often make dhikr. These are people that make dua to Allah Jalla wa Ala throughout the day, throughout the night of Ramadan. They are sitting, worshipping Allah. They are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They understand that Ramadan is not to be wasted. So they're not distracted by their friends or their companions in watching movies or watching football games or losing their time and wasting their time. But they spend every moment in the month of Ramadan worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understanding that month of Ramadan is where the true, pious, righteous people step forward. Ya baghi al-khayr, aqbil. The caller says every single night. Or the one who wants to do good, don't just step forward. But its meaning is, this is your time. Or the one who wants to do good, this is your time. Show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how much He truly means to you. All of these promises we made to ourselves, all of these distractions we may have had before the month of Ramadan. Ramadan is your time. Why is it your time? Because distractions are closed. The shayateen are chained and locked up. Jannah is open. Acts of ibadat are waiting to fall upon your head. Jahannam is closed. The evil sin that people are taken to Jahannam through, they no longer are easy to commit. You are now between yourself and Allah Jalla wa Ala. This is your opportunity to show Him subhanahu wa ta'ala how much He really means to you when the shayateen are chained and locked up, where there's no spiritual distraction. These are people that understand the essence of purifying oneself. Allah Jalla wa Ala says, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Take from them sadaqah. What does it do? It purifies them. And it gives them tazkiyah. It gives them تُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. It gives them the level of tranquility. And what is this level of tranquility? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he explains that التَزْكِيَةِ فِي اللُّغَةِ, that tazkiyah in the Arabic language, it refers to a person purifying himself. But as for its more technical shara'i meaning, which the fast calls towards, is looking towards every avenue of khair, every avenue of ibadah, and establishing that avenue of ibadah. Looking towards fasting, looking towards sadaqah, looking towards generosity, looking towards reading al-Quran, looking towards al-qiyam, looking towards every possible avenue of ibadah in the month of Ramadan. And being from the people that can say that I've done this, I've completed this, I exhausted all of my efforts to ensure that I worshipped Allah Jalla wa Ala throughout the day and throughout the night. This is the third group of people, or brothers or sisters in Islam. This group of people are the most closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. and they fulfill many promises that Allah Jalla wa'ala speaks about in the Quran. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Shams, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَالْلَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. He says, after making oaths by the sun, by the moon, by the day, by the night, by the sky, by the earth, he says how the soul is trapped in, the soul is called towards sin, and he says the one who is successful, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who is successful, who is truly successful, is the one that is able to purify himself. There is no better way, no better opportunity to purify oneself in a month where the shayateen are chained and locked up. So brothers or sisters in Islam, ask yourselves questions pertaining to how these first 12 days have become. How have you acted? How have you engaged yourself? How have you worshipped Allah? How has your fast been? How have your sins been? How has your Quran been? How has your Qiyam been? Every form of ibadah, we should strive at most to not just perfect, but to perfect it with our actions and perfect it with our inner feelings, our inner dimensions, our spiritual sense at the same time. Yes, it may be difficult. It may be difficult for us to stand an hour or an hour and a half in the evening. But this is Ramadan. The difficult becomes easy. This is Ramadan. The impossible becomes possible. Yes, it may be difficult for some of us who may be at the beginning stages of reading Al-Quran. So it takes us hours and hours on end to finish one juz, one section of the Quran. But Ramadan is where the impossible becomes possible. Ramadan is where Allah Jalla wa'ala makes things easy for you. Thus, our brothers or sisters in Islam, look at your targets that you set before the month of Ramadan and see where you've reached. How far are you from them? Or have you surpassed them? Are you from the first group? Are you from the second group? Or are you from the third group? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those that Ramadan is a hujjah for and not against. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect our actions in this month. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be from those people that He forgives throughout this entire month. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قوموا للصلاة.